Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to review for just a couple minutes, and then I'm going to we'll stand and we'll read a couple of verses. Everybody got your hand out? We said our Baptist, or said number one, Roman number one, what are the origins of all churches? The first bullet there, there are three groups of churches. Letter A, the Catholic. Can everybody say Catholic? How many former Catholics out there? Put your hand up. Former Catholics, okay. You say, well, I'm still a Catholic. We love you, and we're glad you're here tonight, okay? So, but probably most of us, we're not still in the Catholic Church because we're in the Baptist Church, okay? The little bullet there, the Catholic Church started in the 3rd century, okay? Letter B, Protestant churches, non-Catholic, non-Baptist. Bullet there, the Protestant Reformation. But by the way, we're not trying to be know-it-alls, but what you're learning over these last, this is the third or fourth week, you know more than even most Christians have been Christians for 15, 20, 30, 40. Actually, I read books, okay? I read books. Authors, they don't understand this, okay? They don't understand this. They think Schubelstern's was a Protestant. And I actually read it again, a really good book on movements that change the world. And they got Schubelstern's in there and the Separate Baptist, and they think it's a Protestant. But that's okay. At least they got him in the book. Letter B, Protestant. The Protestant Reformation started in 1517. Letter C, Baptist churches. The Baptist church's origins are from the New Testament itself. We'll quote Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a little dash there. We believe that Baptists are the original Christians. We did not commence our existence at the Reformation. We were reformers before Luther and Calvin were born. We never came from the Church of Rome, for we were never in it. By the way, Protestant means they protested the Catholic Church, and they came out. for we were never in it, but we have an unbroken line up to the apostles themselves. We have always existed from the very days of Christ, and our principles sometimes veiled and forgotten like a river, which may travel underground for a little season, have always had honest and holy adherence. Okay, Methodist historian John Ridpath, in a personal letter, of course, the Methodist would be a Protestant, okay, Methodist founded by John Wesley, who was a good man. His doctrine was cattywampus. But John Ridpath, in a personal letter to W.A. Jarrell, said, I should not readily admit that there was a Baptist church as far back as 100 A.D., although without a doubt there was were Baptist churches then, as all Christians then were then Baptists, Catholics. So that we had the Baptist, Spurgeon, Methodist, and by the way, I can have all kinds of quotes here if we want to, Catholic bishop, Stanislaus Hosius of Worms, okay, in Prussia. 1533, there shall be no faith more certain and true than is the Antibaptist, seeing there be none. Of course, this is old, 500-year-old English. Be none now or have been before time for ye space of these 1,200 years, who have been more cruelly punished, or that have more stoutly, steadfastly, cheerfully, and I want you to remember that, cheerfully take their punishment, yea, or have offered themselves of their own accord to death, were it never so terrible or grievous. Yea, in St. Augustine, his time, as he himself saith, there was a certain monstrous desire of death in him. Why study Baptist history? Studying Baptist history, number one, prevents a church from apostasy. By the way, Brother Joseph Ledwich, him and his wife were at apostate church a couple weeks ago. He was doing like some interviews at a All Faiths Church, All Saints. And it was an apostate church. Now they weren't there for the church service, okay? They were doing some research. And I talked to Brother Joseph a little bit on the phone. Do you girls want to go? Girls, you want to go? Go ahead. No one's looking. Go. You might be here a long time. No one's looking, I promise. Okay, good. But anyway, we were talking, and I said, you know, Brother Joseph, this church did not start as an apostate church. I mean, it's full-blown apostate. They don't believe the Bible, okay? They believe, you know what they believe? Everything. You say, what are they doing? They were having a conference trying to bring everybody, Muslims and so-called Christians. But anyway, they didn't start off as an apostate church. Baptists have always been willing to suffer for pure doctrine. Number two, studying Baptist history helps us to identify with the purest church, the purest Christians. And I would hope that's what we want, is to identify with the purest church, not the funnest church, okay? Not necessarily the most exciting church, but the church that is more like Christ and the New Testament than anything else. Number three, studying Baptist history helps us understand who we are and where we should be going. Woodrow Wilson said that people that don't know who they are and that don't know where they or won't know where they're going. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, to destroy people, you must first sever the roots. And of course, they did that in the former Soviet Union. Number four, studying Baptist history helps us understand why we are so different from the world and other non-Baptist Christians. We're not against any other Christian. We're not against anybody. Okay? We're against certain sins, but but the point is, we are different, okay? In a good sense, in a scriptural sense. Number five, studying Baptist history helps us to love God more. How many here want to love God more? Can you say amen? I do. Man, as I study, and of course I study the Bible, and of course, but understanding what that name Baptist means out there and following it back to our roots, it helps us to love God more. George Washington Pascal, a historian, said, I may claim that the separate Baptists in America, he's talking about 250 years ago, have proven to be the most remarkable Christian Americans America has ever had. Number six, studying Baptist history motivates us to be difference makers. And letter A, there's verses there. This is all review. The early New Testament Baptist Christians always made a difference where they served God. By the way, I'd hope, how many here, men, you're 40 or over? Raise your hand. All the men, 40 and over. Put it up there. Now look, you know what we're doing right now? Now, if you're not doing it, when you hit 50, you're going, what am I doing? It's almost over. You understand when you're 40? It's sort of scary, isn't it? You know, I mean, if the Bible says 70, you know, some, you have a little strong, maybe 80, okay? So what are you doing? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want to put my head on my pillow, though I might be exhausted and though I might be beat up from the flesh, the world, the devil. I want to put my head on my pillow and just knowing, saying, God, I tried my best and I'm trying to make a difference for the cause of Christ, okay? And so the early New Testament Christians always made a difference where they served God. And letter B, the Baptists were rarely in the majority, but as a remnant made a difference. By the way, look at the Muslims. Man, they're making a difference. But I don't mean for good. It's a false religion. They're aggressive. By the way, they're a male-led religion. Guys, don't leave me up here. But I mean, that's good. It's not good. It's a false religion, okay? And you say, what do they do? They attract men. You say, what are the men? The men are supposed to be the head of the household, okay? If you reach a man 93% of the time, you reach the whole family. If you reach a lady 17% of the time, you reach the whole family. Okay, we need to go after men. Okay, then we can get the wife, okay? All right, now, let's stand together. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 5. That was all review. And I don't think we'll be here long tonight. I want to just give you one thought. Brother Ezekiel, I'm straining. That means I don't have enough on my monitor. My voice is straining. By the way, the word persecution means pursuing. Matthew 5 in your Bible, if you can open your Bible to Matthew 5. Means pursuing with enmity or vengeance, harassed by troubles or punishment unjustly inflicted, particularly for religious opinions. Tribulation is severe affliction, distresses of life. Your first point there in our material for tonight is our Baptist heritage helps us to endure. Can everybody say endure? Persecution. It's in your outline. You write that down in that blank. Persecution and tribulation that Jesus promised would come. Please get this. You're going to have persecution. You're going to have tribulation. Okay? We'll look at Matthew 5. We'll pray, and then we're going to look at several more verses. Matthew 5, verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted. Okay? For righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I was in Monterey Park on Sunday. One of the good men in the church came up to me right after church, and he said, you know, Pastor, in my workplace, they've been giving me such a hard time because I'm a Christian. He said the boss started giving them a hard time, but they're giving me a hard time because he's being persecuted. Okay? Persecuted. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. By the way, look up here. Do you know sometimes who persecutes you? Other Christians. Now, we don't have much of it, but we have it because we're a normal church. You know who sometimes persecutes you? That guy sitting right next to you in the pew. Yeah. They start calling you a Pharisee, and who do you think you are? Okay. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Hey, I want a great reward in heaven. So you, blessed are those that are persecuted, revile you, okay, speak evil of you falsely for my sake. Not by the way, don't be a dummy and cause things to happen, but to be a right and godly Christian, okay? Father, help us. We're not going to be long here tonight. We'll share a few verses, jot down a few notes, but help us to realize you said if we are what you want us to be, we'll be persecuted. If we're light, we'll be persecuted. None of us want to be persecuted, but we will be. If we're salt, we'll be persecuted. Help us to love everybody, love our families, love the lost, love Christians of all different stripes. But Lord, help us to realize if we are what and who you want us to be, we'll be persecuted. And help us to look at our Baptist forefathers and how they endured. And a matter of fact, they had peace and joy even when they were persecuted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look over to Matthew 13. Look, open your Bibles. We're going to look at a few verses here. Matthew 13, just make a right turn. How many of you ever got a little persecution? Anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody got a little persecution? Anybody get persecuted? Anybody got persecuted from your family? Raise your hand. Your family. Any family? I don't mean family here. Maybe cousins, aunts, uncles. We around here, our position is we love everybody, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? So we should love everybody. But we don't love the sin. We love the sinner, okay? And then we as salt and light, someone once said, all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to sit back and do nothing. And so to not do anything about evil prevailing is not good. So a few years ago, Prop 8 came out. How many went Prop 8? Prop 8, okay? And we won't go into all of it. But some of us not me included, one night, Sunday night, we came here and said, listen, we have to pick and choose our battles. You can't fight everything, okay? People that fight everything, they kill themselves, and they don't get anything done. But sometimes you have to stand up, and we had a bunch of these Prop 8 signs and stickers, and I said, who wants to pass some of these out? Man, we got a bunch of our people to pass those out. They went out that night, and whoa, we didn't know what was coming. Okay? We had some friendly people. No, they weren't friendly. We had some people that weren't so friendly. And they had us marked. And literally, they had the church, the red church truck. Some of the guys, including my sons, would go out in the red church truck. And my boys learned what persecution was firsthand. Actually, they also learned some words they'd never heard before. The gay community found out that my house is marked, our church is marked. Okay, that's why we got a lot of opposition when we were trying to get the building approved. But they're persecuted and they were cussed at, and I think my sons thought they were gonna have to fight some girls one time. They would have probably lost the fight, but anyway. But they were persecuted. Brother Joseph, my guess is, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but probably one of these days we'll keep you under the radar. We know what you're doing, but who knows? Okay, so persecution God talks about. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Now this is talking about new Christians. Okay, unfortunately, one reason new Christians don't keep going is because they're not prepared for persecution. Okay, and look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Okay? And this is basically the interpretation. When anyone, verse 19, heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that he which received seed by the wayside. Now look at verse 20. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. You ever get someone saved, and man, they're so excited, and their sins are forgiven. They're on their way to heaven. Man, they're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. That's that one. This is the one they're talking about. But look at verse 21. Look what happens. Yet hath he not root in himself. Okay? That's why we need to help new Christians to get rooted in the Bible, rooted in God's word, okay? And but dureth, could be endureth, for a while, for when tribulation, when what class? Or persecution. That's our title of our message tonight. Tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. And what happens? He leaves. Okay? So we see that Jesus said, blessed are those that are persecuted. We see often new Christians, when they're persecuted, they get offended and they quit on God. Look over to John chapter 16, please. John 16, look at verse 32. John chapter 16, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone. By the way, of course, Jesus' prophecy here, prediction, was accurate. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? He said, you're going to have tribulation. He said, you guys are going to split. They didn't really get it yet. So you guys are going to leave. You're going to leave me. You're going to forsake me. The persecution is going to come. But he said, I want you to remember this. He said, you can still have peace. He said, be of good cheer even when the persecution or the tribulation comes. Look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Of course, this is Saul getting saved, becoming whom we would call the Apostle Paul now. And then this is Jesus speaking directly to Paul, verse 14. Acts chapter 9 and verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And of course, there was a lot of doubt whether this guy was the real deal. And then Jesus makes it really clear. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, speaking about Paul, Saul, who is saved, and his name was changed to Paul, he is a chosen vessel unto me. By the way, we're all chosen vessels unto him. And he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must, what, class? Say it again, please. Suffer for my name's sake. So Jesus is making clear to all these Christians around here, he's going to get the word out that this man is chosen to get the gospel out, get the gospel to Gentiles, but he's also chosen to suffer. I chose him to suffer for my namesake. Now, if Jesus came and showed up and says, who wants to suffer? Who wants to be? We have all different ministries. I got the ministry of suffering. Most of us wouldn't raise our hands. But let me say this. Many of us will be chosen to suffer for the cause of Christ. Look at Acts chapter 14. Right? Paul did suffer. We're pretty confident Paul was martyred. Acts 14. The point here is our Baptist heritage helps us to endure persecution and tribulation that Jesus promised would come. Okay, Acts 14. Look at verse 21. Of course, the Paul is going back around to the different churches. When they say confirmation, it's not the confirmation that we had as Catholic people. But look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls. What they're doing, they're just going back and helping these new Christians. They're going back around. They're on like another tour, coming back and just saying, hey, how you doing, and helping them out. But look, this was some of their encouraging words. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Guys, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. Stay with it. Don't vary. Don't veer to the right. Don't veer to the left. Stay with it. Exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Let me you look up here just a minute. Let me share the testimony of some names that you know in the New Testament. Here's one. Jesus was crucified. Stephen was the first deacon. He was stoned to death in AD 34. John the Baptist, by the way, John the Baptist was the greatest man born among, no greater man was born among women, okay? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was beheaded in the castle of Maturus in AD 32. These are all names that you've read in your New Testament. James was put to death with a sword by Herod Agrippa in AD 45. Philip was stoned to death in Phrygia in AD 54. James, the son of Alphaeus, these are all names you're familiar with, was cast down from the temple and stoned and beaten to death with a club in AD 63. Barnabas, the companion of Paul, was dragged through the city and burned to death in Cyprus in AD 64. John Mark was dragged to the stake and died on the way in AD 64. Paul was beheaded in Rome in AD 69. Aristarchus, a traveling companion with Paul, was slain to his death by Nero in AD 70. By the way, AD 70 was a bad year. Aquila and Priscilla. I never knew this. Aquila and Priscilla were martyred in Rome under Nero in AD. He just named his baby Aquila. I'm sorry, Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla were martyred, and they were a married couple that served the Lord together. They were martyred for the cause of Christ in Rome under Nero in AD 70. Onesimus, Paul's companion, all these, of course, are throughout the New Testament in the different epistles, some in Acts. Onesimus, Paul's companion in the Lord, was tied to a wild horse and dragged and torn to death in AD 70 for the cause of Christ. Andrew the apostle was crucified in AD 70 for the cause of Christ. Bartholomew was flayed alive, then beheaded in Armenia by King Astyages in AD 70. Thomas, the doubter, the apostle, was cast into a hot furnace and pierced with spears in Calamina in AD 70. Matthew was nailed to the ground and beheaded under King Hyticus in AD 70. Simon Zelotes and his brother Judas, not Judas Iscariot, Judas Thaddeus, were crucified and beaten to death in AD 70. Matthias was tied to a cross and stoned to death in AD 70. Peter was crucified upside down. You say, well, Pastor, why do you tell us this? Well, one thing, Jesus said we're going to have persecution. There's a pattern of persecution in the New Testament, and understanding that others have been persecuted should help us when we're persecuted. Look at number two. Identifying with our Baptist forefathers helps us to be cheerful. Can everybody say cheerful? And have peace during persecution and tribulation. Now look, I don't want to be persecuted. And none of us want to be persecuted. If we understand the Bible and we can identify with these Christians, you know what happened? We can actually have peace in the midst of the storm. Look at John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. By the way, the world doesn't give real peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look at, I didn't finish the verse. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33, we just read, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:4-7, right there in your Bible, in your scripture sheet. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience. That's perseverance, patience, and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you. He's talking about these Christians in Thessalonica. They were troubled. God's going to take care of you. God's going to recompense, seen as a righteous thing with God, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Please get that. He's saying you can have rest in your tribulation. You can have rest in your persecution when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven. I got this. Actually, I don't know who sent this to me. Brother Chapel was in Italy. And I'm going to read this. He's got a plaque there. You can't read it. It's in Italian. He went to where the Waldensian Christians would train their preacher boys. And let me read it. It says, the plaque pictured above is mounted in a mountain hut, which was used for a Bible college by the Waldensians. The Waldensians were Baptist Christians. In this hut, Barbas, those are the pastors, the Waldensian pastors and teachers would train young men for ministry. But get this. This is Brother Chapel speaking. He said, I was humbled as I saw the rough benches around the hewn stone podium where the barba, or the pastor, would teach from the center. The eager students were not only risking their lives in attending the school, but they were literally preparing themselves for martyrdom. These Waldensian future preachers would be taught to prepare for the possibility of great persecution, and many of them for martyrdom. When they graduated, they would be traveling evangelists, preaching the gospel message to an unfriendly audience, to say the least. For many of them, it was not a question of if they would be martyred, but of how much they could accomplish before martyrdom. So like this, don't worry, you're going to get martyred, but how much can you get done before you're martyred? That's what they were taught. In secrecy, the Barbas trained their students to read and write in multiple languages and to rightly divide the doctrines of God's word. Additionally, they taught enough about medicine trade to enable them to travel with disguise of a physician or a merchant. Let me, I've showed this before, but I want to show you something. Son, can you pick this up? You say, what's the deal about studying Baptist history? Pick that up. I can't handle it. Thanks. In our point there, it says, identifying with Baptist forefathers helps us to be cheerful and have peace during persecution. Here's the thing, okay? I've said this before. We've seen this. You get one girl crying, and then another girl cries, and five of them are crying. And you go over there, and you say, what are you crying about? And she goes, I don't know. She's crying. Okay? We are creatures of habit, but our habits are developed by those people that we identify with, okay? In different places, they have different greetings because of culture. Now, Jesus is saying when you're persecuted or look, I don't know about you, but when I have pain, I need relief. I want a Tylenol. Okay? Or if I have an earache, what I do is I get vitamin C, and I chew my vitamin C. I chew it, swallow it. I chew all my vitamins. No, they're not Flintstones chewables, okay? I chew my vitamins because I want them to get in my system. But we don't know how to really endure pain. We don't really know how to endure persecution because we're not bad people. It's just our culture. We live in a culture that we don't have much pain. We don't have many. Now, I know we have problems. We have family problems. We have health problems. But we don't understand what happens when persecution comes. And let me say this, and I don't be a prophet of doom. I hope that we can make a difference, and we can be the salt, and we can be the light. Maybe we can make a difference in this country, and things will get better. It might get worse and worse. It might be like in Canada where you can't preach about things. By the way, we have to preach about it because God's word says it, not because someone says we can't preach it. But when we identify with these New Testament Christians, then those that just came out of the New Testament, and then we follow. And these guys were about 400 years ago. This is we have these are three paintings. We didn't paint them, but we have these three paintings hung up in the chapel foyer. Okay, we have them up there for a reason. They're not just nice paint. They're hard to figure out what they are. This is a picture. This guy's Obadiah Holmes, no shirt on, okay? And Obadiah Holmes was thrown into jail in 1651 in America, in Boston, okay? And most of you know that. We told the story. We actually brought the picture up, but I'm going to point out something about the picture. He was thrown in prison, and then he was thrown in prison with two other guys, and then somebody, by the way, caused a big ruckus. He was thrown in prison because they were having Baptist meetings, and they weren't allowed to. It was against the law. And so three of them were thrown in prison, and then somebody came and paid their fine. There were two others. One was his pastor, John Clark, and the other guy, I forget his name, and they paid the fines, and those two guys were released. And when they came to his cell, they said, "You can come out. Someone's paid your fine." He says, "Give them their money back. Because me accepting my fine being paid is the admission of guilt. I'm not guilty of anything." And so they said, "Okay, if you don't let someone pay your fine, then you have to pay with 30 lashes." And they put him out in the public square. By the way, the president of Harvard University watched it, Henry Dunstan. He went back. He became a Baptist Christian because he understood the meaning of the depth of their commitment to Christ. He studied it. He studied his Bible. They kicked him out of Princeton. But anyway, he won't go there. But here's the point. They beat him 30 times, but he went on to tell his testimony, and the name of this painting, it's called As With Roses. So what's significant about the message here? Because he said as he was getting beaten with this whip, I believe it had little metal studs in it, as he was getting beat with this whip, he said he felt, what he felt was not a whip, was not little pieces or knots or little pieces. He said what he felt on his back were like somebody was whacking him with soft rose petals. See, Pastor, what's the point? The point is many of our Baptist forefathers that stood for God, God gave them special grace when persecution came. And we can identify. Go ahead and put that one down. Not that one. Do we have the other? We don't have the, there's one more. How about the Indian missionary, Isaac McCoy? We don't have it. Okay, put this one up. Now, we're familiar with this, is Shubal Stearns, but I want to tell you a story about Shubal Stearns. Do you know what they went through? Shubal Stearns, of course, we've given the story, the Stearns School of Church Planning and blah, blah, blah. We're going to do all that. But this was his first church. I think he had 16 people here. This was in 1755. I can't remember how many years later. The church actually grew to 600. There were 300 in another church, so he pastored two churches. During the beginning of the Revolutionary War, because this area in North Carolina, these Christians, they begin to say, we cannot pay the tithe. They were required to pay a tithe. We cannot pay the tithe to the apostate church. Okay? By the way, that's like us using our taxes for abortion. I don't want to use my taxes to murder a baby. Okay? And so they would make a big stink about it. First of all, their churches weren't even legal, but they made such a big stink about it that during the Revolutionary War, I don't have it written down. One of the generals, the loyalists to England, they literally shot and fired on these. By the way, they said the Baptists. Brother Beller came here and he said, "America's a Baptist nation." I chuckled. I said, "What's he talking? I've never heard anything like that in my life. And really, it was the Baptist people that taught religious freedom and civil freedom that sparked true freedom in America. These, when you, by the way, when you get in the Bible, you get real freedom and liberty. And we don't want tyranny, and I don't go into all that. But they were shot on. This church, probably, in my humble opinion, the greatest church ever in America, because of the churches, the seeds that sowed, and all the churches they planted, and how they've impacted America. Do you know this church dwindled down to 13 people? You say, why? Because of persecution. Because of what? By the way, they did not tuck their tails and run. They didn't blame God. They didn't get mad. You know what they did? This was Acts 1:8. We're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, that are most parts of the earth. They believed this was God's way of spreading them out. They went to Georgia. They went to Tennessee. Thousands of them left. They only had 13 people left in that church. Okay? See, Pastor, what's the point? One reason we study our Baptist heritage, to understand how we ought to live when we're persecuted. I think you can put that down. Okay, let's look at our notes. We're about done. Number three, identifying with our Baptist heritage gives us strength in tribulation and persecution. Strength. Strength. I want you to, guys, ushers, do we have a handout back there? Do you guys have a handout? You see it back there. Does this say it? Obadiah Holmes. Do we have one of those? No? Okay, let's stand. We're done. Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer.